Alan Clark, Public Policy at Uber, with a talk titled Lowering Barriers, Improving Access, and How Technology Can Make Transport More Accessible. Alan, thank you.
Hi, everyone. Okay, so today I wanted to talk a little bit about how we at Uber think about accessibility, some of the features that already exist in our app, and slightly more broadly, sort of what the future might be of things like smart transport and smart technology around personal mobility and where we might be going with that. I know we've already heard quite a lot discussed in a couple of the sessions thus far about things like driverless technology, but I'm kind of today going to also talk about how there are already applications and technology within a smartphone which can deliver a lot of the benefits that I think we talked about with that. So I want to begin by asking, well, why does this matter? And why do I think it matters? And why does Uber think it matters? And I guess that's going to be pretty much obvious to everyone in the room, except that I think everyone will have a slightly different conception about why transport and mobility is key to people's lives. For us, it's because mobility is the flow of people's lives. It's what gets people where they want to go, both metaphorically and physically. And we believe at Uber that better access to transport can reduce isolation, increase integration, and allow people to live fuller and happier lives. And so for us, that's why we talk a lot about serving underserved communities, be they people who live in parts of town that are poorly connected because of economic reasons, or be they people who have got a disability or an access need that makes accessing other forms of transport very difficult, which is why we arrive at sort of our approach to accessibility. So today, I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing, where we're going, and what already exists in the app. So on the screen now, we've got a slide that is just talking about the global reach of Uber. So as a company, we're about 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old. In the UK, we've been around for about 3 years. Across the globe, we now operate in over 400 cities. It's about 70 countries, so we're pretty much universal in most places you'll travel to. And in the UK and Ireland, we are present in over 25 cities and towns, including here in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Dublin, Belfast, London, and most other major towns and cities across the UK. It's the same app everywhere. So on the screen now, we have three screenshots of the app. So you request, once you've entered your payment details, which is a credit or debit card, you then can open our app. It automatically will use GPS technology to find where you are, and you can request a vehicle to come to exactly where you're stood on a map, your front door, your place of work, or the restaurant that you're just finishing your meal in. When the car arrives, you'll get information about that car coming direct to you. So for people who are partially sighted, typically we'll give you the information about the make of the car, the model, and also the license plate or registration number. So someone can help you find that car nice and easily when it arrives. You'll also get information about who the driver is and a star rating indicating what other passengers have thought of that driver in the past. Once you're into the car, you have your journey. It's fully trackable and traceable, which we'll talk about later on, so you can see exactly where you've been and the route you took. And at the end of the journey, you can give feedback on the driver and rate them out of 5 stars, which is how we maintain quality right across every single partner who uses Uber to drive on our app. So now I've talked a little bit about exactly what Uber is. What I want to kind of ask is, well, what technology do we have that perhaps other people might not? And what technology do we use that is available to everyone that can transform transport for people with disabilities and access needs? And I touched on it earlier, and I think a lot of the questions that I've certainly had in the last 24 hours since I arrived here have been focused on the kind of big thing coming down the line that everyone sees as being driverless technology, autonomous vehicles, and some of the amazing opportunities that that might have for everyone, but particularly for people with a disability or access need, and particularly people who are blind or partially sighted. But the message I would like to try and leave people with today is that whilst this is an incredibly exciting thing, and on the screen now we've got one of the first Uber vehicles in the world. It's one of the only vehicles in the world that we own because it's a fully self-driving car. It has an engineer in the front, and it's on the road in Pittsburgh right now. If you request a car in Pittsburgh currently, you might receive a driverless vehicle with an engineer in the front of it. And this feels like a big change. This feels like a big step forward. But what I would like to argue today is that a lot of the technology that makes these kind of big leaps forward in transport possible already exists in our app and can already offer a very similar to service to people who to people with an access need or a disability. And so I wanted to begin with a quote from a guy who works very closely with us in the States. So on the screen now, we have a quote from Mike May, who's a famous blind downhill skier and who works with us as an advisor on accessibility in the United States. Was due to come over to do some stuff in the UK, but unfortunately hasn't been very well recently. And he says that Uber is one of the most significant advancements in the independence for me and other blind people so far this century. And I wanted to start with that quote because it's not for me to say or for anyone else at Uber to say whether or not that Mike's right about this, but I think certainly there's probably something in this and that there is, I think, some really good evidence to show that if we're not a really significant step forward, perhaps the type of technology that we use can be that for people who are blind and partially sighted. And I want to try and run you through some of the features that we have, introduce you to some of those, and then also talk about perhaps a bit more about the future. So the first thing to say, which is, I guess, is an incredibly important part, is that our app is fully voice over iOS compatible, and also with Android. So this, I wanted to put this first because for me, this feels like the enabler that allows people who are blind or partially sighted to use all the other great benefits of our app in the same way as we have over 3 million consumers in the UK. So it's fully compatible, it's built into that, it's been that right from the start. And it's worth saying at this juncture that we'll always welcome feedback on that if anyone has anything to tell us about where it isn't working or what we can possibly do better. And that allows people to use the core aspect of our product, which is that we offer a cashless door-to-door transport. We spoke a little bit earlier in the talk about how you can request a car to come direct to your door and direct to pick you up from wherever you are. It's fully cashless, and it's the same app across the world. That means whether you're coming out of the conference here in Glasgow, whether you're going from the airport later on today, whether you're at a restaurant in London next week, a restaurant in Chicago the week after, or whether you're going to another conference next year in Melbourne in Australia, you'll be able to use the same app and the same technology to get you a ride all over the planet. And when you do that, the experience will be fully cashless. So you'll never have to worry about currency, messing with change, stopping for cash points, not knowing where you are or how to get money out of the bank, anything like that. It's all taken off one payment method. In addition to that, a real benefit of the Uber app is that there is an absolute equality of access. When you request a ride with Uber, the driver who comes to collect you doesn't know the person they're collecting until they get there, and they only know the person by first name. In the same way as you don't know that much about the driver, apart from that they're fully licensed, you have their name, the model of car they're driving. This means that instances of discrimination in pickups, which historically is a really big problem in the taxi and private hire industry, is significantly reduced. The app is also fully transparent and fully traceable. And that means that, in essence, there's a log of every ride. That means there's a record of when you ordered a car, who drove you, where they picked you up, what vehicle they were driving, exactly where you went, what time you were dropped off, and exactly what you were charged. This means that, with your permission, we can access a record of every journey through the app you've ever taken. The benefit of this, and it's a feature that consumers love, is that for people who are blind or partially sighted or have a different disability, it means there's a huge disincentive for anyone who's driving a vehicle on the Uber app to discriminate against someone when they've gone to collect them. Because whilst I can't stand here and say that that's never going to happen again in future, there's an enormous disincentive for someone to do that if there's an absolute record that can be accessed instantly by any member of Uber staff in the world with your permission that will show that a driver turned up at your house or your place of work and then drove away without picking you up for whatever reason. And that's quite powerful because it just builds up. If there's a log of every time something like this happens, it allows us to take immediate action to rectify that problem. It allows there to be a record of it so we know it's happened or it's happening. And it also allows us over time to weed out drivers who might be doing that in a way that previously just wasn't possible. And I can talk about that more in a second. In addition, this has also the impact of almost entirely eliminating price discrimination. So a couple of years ago, some of you might remember that Scope published their extra costs commission, Scope's extra costs commission published a report in which they found that two out of every three people with disabilities or access needs reported being overcharged by a taxi and private or private hire vehicle. And within that report, this ranged from people being charged, people in wheelchairs being charged an extra fee to, for a driver to put a ramp down so they could get in, to someone with a guide dog being charged extra simply for carrying the dog in the car, to people being taken routes all around the houses and, you know, all over the place and being overcharged in that form simply because the driver thought they could get away with it. Clearly unacceptable in every case. With Uber, because it's fully trackable, because we set the fare, and because there's a record of every journey, it means that the fare you pay will always be the correct fare. It will always be also at the same price as our lowest priced option. An absolute of our policy towards accessibility and disability is that whenever we introduce new products that are specifically aimed at people with disabilities or access needs, they're always priced at the lowest possible level. So they'll be the same price as for anyone else who wants to book an UberX, which is our cheapest fare, anywhere in the world. And underpinning all of this is, I've talked a little bit about the features. This is very much a corporate policy, but we have an entirely zero tolerance policy to anyone, any form of discrimination on our app, or any form in particular of access denials for people with service dogs, or guide dogs, or other service animals. And again, I mean, I touched on this a second ago, and I can't, in good faith, stand here and say that, you know, access to, or service refusals never happen on Uber. And I can't tell you that they're never going to happen again on our app. But through having a zero tolerance policy, in that if there's any evidence at all that a partner driver using our app has refused access to their vehicle for someone because of a disability, or for that matter, for any other reason that could be construed as discrimination, we have a zero tolerance policy, and that driver will lose immediate access to our app, and that will be permanent. Effectively, that means that this driver, regrettably, would lose their right to work using our app. And that is obviously an incredibly serious penalty for someone to face whose livelihood relies on Uber. So we take this incredibly seriously, and because we have this trackable and traceable technology, we're able to see where this has happened. And although I totally understand that not in every case is it possible to know when an access refusal has occurred, in every case that we have evidence that one has happened, we have this approach to it, and you know, there's no debate from our side. Having said this, our long-term goal, and on the screen I've got it up now, is to provide transport everywhere for everyone. And we're really serious about this, and it means that everywhere in the world, we want somebody to be able to request a car to come and pick them up that is safe, reliable, and affordable. And whilst I think that with some of the features I've just described, we're well on the way to this, I in no sense think that we're already there. So now I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing, particularly with regards to accessibility, about what we're doing and some of the products that we're launching in order to try and widen our service so that everyone can use our app. So the first thing up here on the board now, on the screen, sorry, I've got some examples of some of the charitable organisations we've recently worked with. Despite having roughly 3 million users in the UK, and we do around 4 million journeys through our app in London every month, despite this, we're still a relatively young company. We have relatively small numbers of staff, and in terms of actual footprint, we're roughly speaking a kind of typical medium-sized company. Therefore, we really lack expertise that we need to be able to deliver fantastic services right for people right across with a range of disabilities. So a big part of our policy recently has been to engage with specialised charities and organisations, such as the RNIB, to find out, you know, how can we be serving people better? What are we doing wrong? What can we do better in future? So on the screen, we've worked with Transport for All in London, who provide a lot of disability equality information sessions for drivers on some of the products I'm going to discuss in a second. We also work with Guide Dogs UK to provide better information for people driving on our app about guide dogs and about the requirements a guide dog user might have when they're getting into their car. And we've also worked with Scope quite extensively and with WizKids, both with regard to our product called Uber WAV, which is for wheelchair users in London, and we hope to roll it out across the UK quite soon. Just on this side here, just some still images of our recent information video we put together with Guide Dogs UK, which shows a guide dog getting into the back of a vehicle, one of our partner drivers offering advice to other partner drivers about how to help someone with a guide dog into the vehicle, And it's all about trying to get better information to people who are going to be driving on Uber so they realise exactly what, for example, a guide dog user requires when they go to pick a person up, and crucially, what the penalties are with our zero tolerance policy if they fail to act to our expectations. We also have two specialised products in the UK which are specifically aimed for people with disabilities or access needs. We have Uber Assist, which is now live in 5 UK cities, which essentially takes drivers who have done a large number of trips on our app and have got a very high average rating. This means that when they finish their journey, people have rated them close to 5 stars out of 5 most of the time. So typically they will have done more than 500 journeys and have an average rating of more than 4.85 stars. We then offer them the opportunity to receive specialised disability equality training delivered by Transport for All and Inclusion London. This is a training session that's delivered by disabled trainers using the social model of disability. And the aim of this is to really up the education levels and the understanding of these drivers. It's a specialised option in the apps. If any of you use Uber, you can go along to the far right-hand side on the bottom of it, request a car. That driver will know that they are collecting someone who might have a disability or an access need, and therefore, when they arrive to pick you up, they're more likely to stop in a safe place, be aware they might need to walk to the door, ring on the doorbell, help someone into the car, collapse a foldable wheelchair, something like that. And for our part of that, we take a lower service fee of each of those journeys in respect to the fact we recognise that's going to take an average driver longer to do than picking up someone who can jump in at a traffic light. We also have Uber WAV in London, which is our fully wheelchair accessible service, which essentially works in the same way as Uber Assist with the same drivers, very, very similar training, although obviously more practically related to wheelchair users, and which allows people the opportunity in London to book a vehicle from their app in exactly the same way as any other Uber option, within typically a very short time frame in central London, and the vehicles are all fully wheelchair accessible. Crucially, those two services are also priced at the lowest possible available price across our app. So these two, Uber Assist and Uber WAV, if you request one of these vehicles, they will be at the same price as our standard UberX service. In future, and at the moment, on the screen now is a quote that says, book me an Uber X to work. And this is actually written on Tuesday. I wrote these slides on Tuesday. At the time, I was saying that in the future, we hope to have a full integration with Siri on your iPhone that will allow you to book an Uber fully using just speech. I was overtaken slightly by events in that yesterday we announced that we'd done it. So that's a slight issue. This is supposed to be forward-looking, and now it's backward-looking. So from now, you can now, by holding down the home button on your iPhone, if you download the latest iOS and you download our latest app update, you'll be able to hold the home button and literally speak into your phone, please book me an Uber from home to work, Siri. And providing that you've set up your home address and your work address within both the app and within your iPhone, Siri will then say to you, absolutely, Uber can offer you an UberX in 3.5 minutes. Would you like to book? Yes. And your car's on its way. This is a feature that we're really excited about because in terms of people who are blind or partially sighted, it means there's not even a need to use voiceover. This is entirely voice activated, which is fantastic. We also have a fully open API. So something I definitely wanted to get in today was if we have any budding app developers in the room, any people who are at the moment exploring products which can link into our app, please come and find me and we'll be delighted to have a discussion. I'm coming to the end now, I think. I'm just okay for time, but nevertheless, coming to the end a little bit. So I wanted to talk a little bit further into the future and sort of give you a little bit of a sense of what it is that we're trying to achieve with all these products. I've talked you through some of the core features that are in our app that I think are really important for people with disabilities or access needs. And I've also spoken a little bit about some of the specific things that we're trying to deliver for people in terms of accessibility. And longer term, I said it a second ago, that our aim is to try and deliver transport for everyone everywhere. But I think for people with disabilities or access needs, it actually goes a little bit further than this. What we really want to do and what our long-term aim is to be able to give people absolute spontaneity in how they travel around around cities and how they travel around places all over the world. And for us, that means them being able to take out their phone and with as little friction as possible, be able to get a card to come to them in a matter of minutes that can that they can access totally easily, and that when they finish their trip, they know exactly what they've paid, where they've gone, and everything to do and everything to do with that. And I think this is a really powerful thing, because this is, for me, and I have to confess my background, it isn't in this area, that seems to be one of the areas in which people with disabilities or access needs find hardest. In the research for Uber Assist and Uber WAV, we conducted focus groups and spoke to a lot of people. And what we heard time and time and again was, the bad thing is when you try and get a taxi or a private hire car and you ring up 2 days in advance to book it and it doesn't show up on the morning of it, or it's late, or it comes and it isn't the right car, or you don't know what car it is, or you're overcharged. Our aim is to eliminate all of those things. And so for us, this idea of spontaneity, of being able to push a button and get a ride, is the thing that governs what we're trying to do in this area. Which leads me to a final thought that I'd like to kind of just put out there a little bit, and it'll link back into what I said at the start. The driverless discussion about autonomous vehicles, and the one that was on the screen earlier that's on the road now in Pittsburgh, I think is really, really interesting. And it's fascinating, and it could be an enormous leap forward. Views of it differ slightly, though. I think, as we heard for the people who were here in the fireside chat last night, we kind of have this, you know, long-term versus short-term opinion, the optimists versus the pessimists, the tech evangelists versus the tech skeptics. And in a sense, I actually think that that debate, given the types of technology that I've described during this talk, might be slightly less important than people think. I think things like things that driverless can make an enormous leap forward. But 4 years ago, Uber didn't really exist in London or the UK, and the notion of ordering a car from your smartphone was almost entirely unknown. Now, more than 2 million people in London have our app, more than 3 million people in the UK, and we do well over 4 million journeys a month. If I click forward to this slide here, on the screen now, I've got a picture taken on an incredibly wet day on top of a multi-story car park in London, with 3 of the new Uber wheelchair accessible vehicles that were launched in May. And in terms of why I think that things like the discussion about automation might be slightly less important than we think, is that before our product of Uber WAV launched in London, people in wheelchairs, and I'm using this example because it's a really clear example to use about the leaps forward technology can bring, had essentially 2 options to travel around if they wanted to go by taxi or private hire. They could order a black cab using one of the apps to their house, which was fantastic, but is often a premium price because they're slightly more expensive. If they wanted to access the private hire market, it's a matter of calling up hours in advance, if not days, and then maybe calling 2 or 3 companies, finding out who's got availability when and where. After Uber WAV launched, since this was launched in May, we've had more than 3,000 people in London have taken a trip using it, and the average wait time for one of these vehicles, a fully wheelchair accessible car, is less than 13 minutes. Now, that's a pretty massive improvement in terms of people's lives. And I'm not saying that just yet we're at the position where we'd like to be in this. There are times of the day when all the wheelchair accessible vehicles we have are out doing journeys and it's difficult for people to get one. But the advancement that we've made thus far makes me really optimistic for the future and makes me think that already we're so much further along this path than people think. And in future, I think with some refinement, I'm really optimistic about what it might bring. So thank you very much. And I don't know if I've exhausted all my time, but if there's any questions, I'll happily take them.